Now stay tuned for the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. From Homegrown to Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call. I don't know how anybody can do any better. Folks from the Albemarle County school system with us today, working and going to school even on Sunday. That's the kind of power and effort that the folks from Albemarle County put in, which is why they are one of the best in the state. From left to right, the way I'm looking, we have Gene Osborne, who is the lead technology integrator for the division. Gene, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Thank you for being here. We have Erin Hinchin. She's a member of the Albemarle High School's Math and Engineering Science Academy. Erin, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Thank you for being here with us today. And then over tucked in the corner, we have Jeff Prilliman, who's going to be leading the student centers, which is our topic. Jeff will be leading, Prilliman will be leading the student centers, currently also a lead coach for the school division. Jeff, thank you so much.
It's nice to be here.
I appreciate it. So we have Jeff and Gene and Erin here with us. We're going to be talking about student centers, a topic that we touched on, I guess. Phil, in the back, was it a year and a half ago?
About a year ago.
And the student centers might have gotten, I don't know, lost, overlooked, forgotten in the conversation. If you didn't have maybe upper middle school or high school students already at Albemarle, because, you know, it just wasn't something to worry about. It wasn't something to think about. They're sort of unusual topics. You know, if your kids weren't maybe A and B students already in the system, you're like, what is a student center? Because as a parent, you're like, I don't know what that is. That didn't have anything to do with me when I was a student. So, Jeff, I'm going to start with you. Sort of define, if you can, a student center for the listeners today, because it's certainly not anything, if you don't have a kid in the system now or you're not working for Albemarle, not anything in your brain and already defined.
So some of this probably stems from the work that has been going on the last, say, 8 or 9 years with our academies at each of our three high schools. So at our three comprehensive high schools, we have a math, engineering, science academy at Albemarle. We have a health and medical science academy at Monticello. And we have an environmental studies academy out at Western Albemarle. But because of capacity issues, because of room issues, you have an application process for these programs, and so they serve a smaller group of students than maybe they potentially could. So when we start thinking about centers, we start thinking about ways to open opportunities up for more kids and building than just a STEM center, where maybe you could house both the Math, Engineering, Science Academy, maybe a piece of the Health and Medical, but then open it up for more students. So it's not just two classrooms upstairs at Albemarle High School. How could we build something that meets the needs of more of our student body?
But this is going on, you're taking this program and the goal is to expand it. This is something that's been planned for how long now? 2 years?
About 2 years in the making, yes.
The proposal put before the school board, is it included planning before the overall Albemarle County population Is it something that's, you know, does it have to do with my taxes? Is it something, and I realize that I'm asking you this, is it something that goes before the overall population, something that is out there and, you know, I'm going to have to vote on, et cetera?
I mean, at some level, it actually saves money because one of the issues that we're experiencing in Albemarle County is a lot of growth. And you look at, like, Albemarle High School is already 300 to 400 students over capacity. You can't move around the hallways. Western Albemarle is at an over capacity with projected growth. So when you think about these specialty centers, in some sense, they actually save money because you're not building a full-on comprehensive high school that will need all the athletic facilities and all that. They're a center where we can send some of our kids to every other day. We can send seniors to the center, what have you, where you actually save money because you're not building a full-on comprehensive high school. You're building sort of like these mini, and what's called mini high schools, if you will, but these specialty centers that allow us to alleviate some of the capacity issues at our current high schools.
So it's not meant to be, as discussion has been taking place about possibly building, having to build a brand new all-out high school on the north side of Albemarle. This is not a replacement for that.
I mean, I don't want to say it's a replacement per se, but these centers would help alleviate the need to build that full-on high school.
Because when you say a mini, M-I-N-I, but this is to send some kids there on alternative days, you're not sending kids there every day where they're just focusing on some of the programs that we'll be talking about throughout the hour, where they'll be focusing on academics, but not taking art or drama or going out to for phys ed and playing football and things like that.
I mean, there could be art and drama programs. If you think about a specialty center, maybe a performing arts academy is a specialty center kind of thing. You know, you take a program like dance, for example. We don't have a dance program at any of our high schools. If you had a specialty center that focused on performing arts, maybe you could start to offer some opportunities for students that currently don't exist. So the short answer is, yes, kids could be attending there every other day. It both alleviates some capacity issues at our school, plus it allows us to maybe offer some programming that we don't currently have in some of our schools.
Again, Jeff Prilliman, who's going to be leading the student centers, he's currently the lead coach for the school division. As we talk about new student centers, which is the 20 student center, 20 person student center to start in 2019. Is that correct? 2018.
We're starting it this year, this fall.
This September, in August, I guess. Albemarle starts in August. We also have Gene Osborne, the lead technology integrator for the division, and Aaron Henschen. Aaron, you're in what grade currently?
I'm a senior this
year.
You're
a senior. So let's bring you into the conversation. Gene, sorry, you're last. Ladies next. what have you been doing if the student center hasn't started yet?
Mm-hmm. I've been involved in a lot of project-based learning areas at Albemarle. I've been in the Math, Engineering, and Science Academy for all 4 years, which is a lot of centered around, especially in the last 2 years, kind of taking charge of your own education and working on a lot of these projects. And so I'm pretty excited about having like this possibility of student centers where more students can get access to that.
How do you feel that this is going to be different? I mean, other than having a different building where you could take the bus or get in your car as a senior, what is your anticipation of how it would be a different program?
I think my understanding is that it would offer this opportunity that I've had and my fellow classmates have had to a lot more students maybe ones that aren't just interested in engineering, but expanding this concept of really taking charge of your education, what you want to do, what you want to build, for a lot of kids that I think it would be beneficial for.
Jeff, is that, and I don't want to call Aaron out and go, is that right?
It's a fair statement. If you look at some of the things that the state has done in the last couple years, they've removed some barriers for us that allow us to do some things differently. So, for example, what are called Carnegie hours, you used to have to sit in a seat for 140 hours in a class called biology to get a biology credit. So when you start thinking about a center and doing things differently, like there's a teacher at Monticello right now who's designing a course called astrobiology, where you're mixing astronomy and biology together. So the first half of the year would be about biology and what does it take for life to exist and all that. The second half of the course is planning a mission to Mars. And if you look at, you know, Elon Musk and some other things, I mean, there's talk about we will have a colony on Mars by 2025-ish kind of thing. That's the year these kids are graduating, and they're looking at what's happening. But if you take a course like this, where all of a sudden you think about planning a mission to Mars, and you got robotics, and you got horticulture, and you got all these different aspects of what would have to happen, allowing kids to work on a class like that more than 140 hours and get multiple credits. Can they get credits around robotics? Could they get an English credit in a class like this? Could they do things? And removing that seat time, if you will, allows us to do project-based learning in a sense where a kid can get multiple credits, meet their graduation requirements, but do some really cool stuff and building projects, solving problems, and those kind of things. That makes sense.
Gene Osborne here with us, the lead technology integrator for the division. Let's talk about your job, what you're doing now, and how it applies to the new student centers.
So, Rick, I think the student experience in the classroom is in the forefront of our thinking as learning technology integrators. And with such a range of classrooms in the district, it's really important for myself and members of the team to really serve teachers where they are with technology so that we can really focus on the student experience in the classroom. So with such a range, you've got teachers who are, like Jeff had said, you know, thinking about biology and how it applies to space. But we also have teachers who are working with really, really just in the weeds with regard to student learning, really making sure that our young men and women have the, you know, numeracy and basics in math such that they can be successful in their classes on statewide tests. And technology integration in those classes looks very, very different than in our more open-ended project-based classes. So we provide technology support, and I like to think that we have a lot of flexibility in the way that we support teachers so that they can meet such a wide range of needs in the classroom.
But is that different from today's class? If I were to go to Albemarle High School and look in on the biology class, look in on the English class, or go in versus go into next year's student center and look into one of the project classes, what's the difference going to be if you have done your job and, you know, with the work that you have done for any of that, any of those classes?
Yeah, and I think that when we look at classrooms and we look at project-based classrooms, those look, sound, and feel quite different than other classrooms that might have more of a lecture format style of instruction. Technology integrator is a way to accelerate learning on all fronts. And I think the difference here, Rick, is when we empower student-centered learning. So in a project-based setting, that technology support is really unlocking the student's ability to self-direct their learning, to really solve problems that have open-ended solutions. Technology support for some teachers might look different in that it may be a teacher-centered learning environment at that time, meaning that technology support could increase their organization, can increase their efficiency, can increase all of their students' ability to access the information that they're sharing. But those, Rick, are two different types of classrooms. And we have such a wide range, like I'd said, at Albemarle County Schools. So if you were to walk into the school, any of our schools, you'd likely see some classrooms, again, that have a style of instruction that, again, supports more of the teacher setting the pace as well as delivering the information. And then other classrooms that have the students really at the kind of more in the steering seat, guiding the learning such that they are engaging in projects that really can look quite different from one another.
Gene Osborne, who's the technology integrator, the lead technology integrator for the division. Albemarle High School, Albemarle, here with us today talking about student centers. We have Jeff Prilliman, Gene Osborne, and Aaron Hinchin, who's a member of Albemarle High School's Math, Engineering, and Science Academy, and she's a senior. Aaron, do you have favorite classes because of the style? Gene was talking about lecture, and I don't remember the word you used, but I'm thinking of participant versus lecture, and I don't know if that's the proper word to use. You tell me the word to use.
Yeah, so we have, you know, classrooms, and with the pacing guide is such that the teacher is certainly setting that stage with regard to what's being learned and when it's being learned. Now, Rick, I really want to just make sure that we're coloring the range of classrooms and that we are wildly, wildly moving towards student-centered learning environments. So when you take a student like Erin and the environment that she's in and the opportunities that she has, really we're looking at an opportunity for a young engineer like herself to really then kind of take the reins, if that makes sense. So, you know, again, we do have, and I'd use that lecture format, or it's, you know, somewhat of a teacher-centric model, which, again, we're wildly moving towards student-centered learning and really increasing the agency of our students like Aaron, so that they can self-direct while learning.
So the phrases would be teacher-centric versus student-centric?
I think that's one way to look at it, sure.
Okay.
I mean, it's part. When you talk project-based learning, there are all kinds of attributes that you want to call into consideration. What's the audience? So, for example, if students are working on a problem and the only audience is the class or the teacher, that's one thing. But what if the audience is a group of professionals within the community? What if the audience is the community? So you start looking. So audience might be another component to the differences in learning style. Is the teacher directing the learning versus are we allowing students to make choice in how they demonstrate mastery of content? That's another piece of it. And so you look at all these different attributes of what is meaningful, what is authentic, what is contrived. So a contrived learning experience versus an authentic learning experience. And you start thinking about those different attributes when you're doing project. And we use the term project-based. In Albemarle County, we just, the P is somewhat undefined. There's projects, there's problems, there's passions, and there's ways to look at these all sort of differently kind of thing. You know, you see what's called project-oriented. You walk into a hallway, and you look down the hallway, and you see 24 volcanoes on paper plates. That's something that is pretty contrived, that's teacher-directed. Then all of a sudden, you see 24 different kids that have designed parks under different parameters, and you start thinking about that's a different type of project, and that's even happening at our elementary level. And some of this is recognizing that what's happening at the high school and how it comes down into our middle schools and to our elementary schools.
All right, I need to take a break. We're going to come back and continue to talk about student centers with Aaron, who's a student, Gene, who's the lead technology integrator, and Jeff, who is leading the student centers. We'll be right back with folks from the Albemarle County School Division. Hang tight. All right, back in action here on the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call. This is 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And I feel like we're being progressive, talking about student centers, which is why we're here today with folks from the Albemarle County School Division. Aaron Henschen with us today, a member of Albemarle High School Math, Engineering, and Science Academy. And so, Aaron, I don't want to ask you about the teacher-centric, because it feels like, who's your favorite teacher? And that's what I don't want. It's slights others. And but I do want to ask you about the student-centric classes. I want to know what your favorite class is that you get to, this where it's the student-centric thing. What are you doing? What's your project that's out there? Talk about that.
Yeah, so I certainly do enjoy, I have a lot of classes in my schedule this year too that give me the freedom to kind of define not necessarily what I'm going to learn, to a certain extent they do, but how I'm going to learn it and being able to do it in a way that I'll be passionate about the content. In terms of, we do have guidelines of what we want to cover, and especially in the MESA, the Math, Engineering, and Science Academy classes. We have skill sets that we want to learn, but the way that you learn them, you get to design your projects and you get to design the purpose, which I think adds a new level of understanding and wanting to understand. I've also been able to participate in a very much discussion-based class where I kind of get to decide the curriculum this year. And given that is unique in that it's not a mandatory class, it's an elective, but being able to decide what we want to talk about and what we want to learn, I think has made it a pretty remarkable experience in terms of really wanting to show up every day and wanting to participate.
No skipping school. See, that's completely different from the old days. I'm not really sure I get that. But one of the things about the student centers that I read was that by changing the high school experience, it's no bells signaling the end of classwork, no structured class schedules. What's the purpose of no bells at the end of the class period?
I love that. I'm sorry to interrupt. It's you see amazing learning happening sometimes, and then a bell rings and kids have to go to the next class. Why does learning have to stop in that moment, kind of thing? One of the freedoms that we've had with MESA is that it's been an extended period of time, so kids have more time to continue to work on stuff. But if I'm really into a project, I'm working, I'm collaborating, I'm doing all these wonderful things, and then a bell rings that says it's time to go to the next thing, what happens to the kid in that moment, kind of deal? So when you think about no bells, it's not really that they're aren't bells throughout the day to tell you, you know, where you may want to be or whatever, but it's just saying, if something is really happening, then why do I need to stop learning right now? I saw that all throughout my experience in MESA, where the bells would ring and nobody leaves, and it's like, come on guys, you got to go to your next class, kind of thing. You just hate shutting that down as an educator.
And what about kids who need more structure, though? Aren't there kids who do need structure?
And the short answer is yes. And there are, when we talk about these centers, you're not necessarily talking about this for every single student. There's going to be, school might look remarkably the same to many of our students, kind of thing. But for the kid that's passionate about something, or the kid that you can figure out, they're in theater. Like if a kid writes a play, can you count that as part of their English credit, kind of thing? They get something published. They're doing research. They want to go work in a lab. How can you get them the school credit for that experience, you know? But for another kid, I mean, they might need to sit in 8 classes over the course of, you know, their 4 years and receive their information the way it's been done for the last 120 years.
I think one important component to us working with students who do need an increased amount of structure is really the role of relationships. And, you know, Rick, I know my background, I taught in special education classrooms for 10 years as a special educator. And I know that certain kids, like you said, truly do need a degree of structure. It helps them organize their bodies, their thinking, just really the way that they engage with any environment. And I think in a center, especially a student-centered learning environment, it's important to know that there's still going to be a number of relationships that are going to help structure that that environment for the students. So there's using technology to unlock learning. And then there's also having adults who know what you're working on, who are counseling you, who care about you, who are consistently giving you feedback. And to be honest with you, you know, based on my experience in the classroom, if you know a kid and you know they need increased structure, then you would, through that relationship, be able to help that child identify a structure for their project that might include a more defined timetable or strategies for transitioning from one activity to another or one point of research to another. So the idea of increased structure, I believe strongly that that still lives in a student-centered learning environment, and we realize that through our relationships that we form with the kids.
Gene, you talk about the special education, brought that up. A lot of the programs and classes that I've heard so far in the student centers, we've talked about engineering has come up. I've heard about very academic style classes. The first year, we're only talking about 20 kids, correct?
15 to 25,
somewhere in that range. Where is there room? Are any of these student centers going to be for occupational kids? Are we, you know, is anything going to be done for kids who aren't interested? You know, these non post-secondary school kids?
The short answer is yes. I mean, if you look at a specialty center and what could it be? So maybe it's math, engineering, science, but it's also robotics. It's also GIS. It's also the tech industry. If you think about things like self-driving cars, which are something that I honestly think kids starting school today will never have to learn how to drive. But that's a whole different field. And those are students that they're just interested in working on cars, but now there's a whole different level of what can be done with that. So there are definitely trades that are part of it. You take any engineering project. There's the designers, there's the engineers, there's the fabricators, there's, you know, and so how do you construct teams? I think one thing that you'll see at the center is you'll see teams of kids from all different academic backgrounds working together on projects. I think that's one of the goals of centers, is to see a high degree of collaboration across the spectrum of interest to design projects, kind of thing.
Gene, I want to talk about, there was an article, and I think you wrote it even, about the virtual reality aspect of what you're bringing to the classroom and the effect that it has had on some students who you believe would otherwise have dropped out.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that, you know, music studios, wood shops, you know, there's a lot of different types of tools that can be in the classroom that'll engage all of the different types of learners that we serve. Virtual reality is an incredibly charismatic tool. And just like you've said, I've seen it engage students who may otherwise be reluctant learners. You know, it's a big open question. And that question is, you know, what is the role of virtual reality in education? And truly, Rick, I believe we're at the very beginning of an emerging trend in education, not just in K-12, but in tools for training, whether you're at a hospital or whether you are a new employee at McDonald's. We're going to start to see we're going to see virtual reality be a platform for learning. So in its infancy and in my, you know, my experience, and I've been working and integrating virtual reality into Albemarle County Schools. We're at the in the middle of our second year. And I've seen it increase engagement. I've seen kids delight in the opportunity to create solar systems or create music in these hyperbolic music studios, this studios filled with light and sound, 3D environments for sculptors and painters, opportunities to explore prehistoric oceans. These examples go on and on. And when you have a student who's maybe they do have occupational needs, maybe their body doesn't feel quite right in a traditional classroom. Well, when they're standing and when they're in the middle of a space that's filled with sounds and sights that are unimaginable, really, we do see engagement go up. And Rick, I'm not naive. I know the role novelty plays in the classroom. So if we look at the role of virtual reality in student-centered learning environment, it's truly not a one-size-fits-all tool. It would be one part of a robust menu of options for a student in a learning environment. But I'll tell you, I'm so excited about what I've seen, and the future does look really bright with regard to this
and
tool.
And it's fun, and I'll piggyback on that, Gene, the equity piece of virtual reality. It's hard sometimes for us to understand it, but you have kids that have never been to a zoo. You have kids that have never gone on vacation or left the state of Virginia, and virtual reality brings an equity piece to the classroom where kids don't have those experiences, but at least through virtual reality, it puts everybody sort of on the same talking point. And so that's another big role and purpose of virtual reality is that piece.
Gene, can you give me a specific example of somebody that you've seen using a virtual reality piece in a more, I don't know, just a simple description of what you've seen?
So we have a group of students at Western Albemarle High School who, you know, based on the availability of virtual reality resources, were able to construct their own solar system using a tool that actually can generate not only stars and planetesimals, but also a tool flexible enough to increase the density of that star or those planetesimals. I mean, you can create gas giants as well. But these students, you know, in this classroom, it was a project-based classroom, and not all of the students in that class chose to construct solar systems or solar systems using virtual reality. What I love about this example, Rick, is that the students had agency. They were able to construct a solar system that actually, you know, it wasn't limited to any one variable, but all of the students weren't required to use virtual reality to construct their project. So when we look at innovation tools and we look at the mindset of compulsory learning that, you know, you must use this amazing innovation tool, I think we're missing something there. These innovation tools aren't necessarily, or these technologies aren't necessarily right for everyone. I can promise you kids in that classroom would rather create a diorama of a solar system, and I promise you that they would have an amazing experience in doing so. So that example is paired with a classroom that has the flexibility in which the students could demonstrate mastery, either using these charismatic virtual reality resources, in my mind, charismatic virtual reality resources, or other modalities for showing mastery. So that's one of several examples, and these boys did excellent work.
11:35 here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Thank you for being with us today as we talk with folks from the Albemarle County School Division. Gene Osborne telling the story about virtual reality in the system. He's the lead technology integrator. We have Jeff Prilliman here, who will be leading the student centers, which is our conversation today. We have Erin Hinchin here with us today. She's a member of Albemarle High School's Math, Engineering, and Science Academy. Erin, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about how what it's like to be a student at Albemarle and how things have changed for you from freshman to senior as you've become, you know, gotten through the system, become part of the academy, and I'm assuming gotten more engaged in some of the technology.
Certainly, yeah. I think a lot of it is making sure that technology is known to the students. I know, especially coming in freshman year, your schedule is a little bit more rigid. As you get through the system, you have more time to take classes that you're more interested in, do projects and stuff like that. And so you learn about these tools that you find out were there the entire time. I've been in rooms this year that I actually didn't even know were part of the school when I was a freshman. And so I've had a lot more experience with, like, especially in the shop this year. I had never been able to work in there before.
What were you doing in the shop?
In the Math, Engineering, and Science Academy, we have a senior capstone sort of project where you get a lot of freedom and that the school gives you an amount of money, like a budget, and you get to create any project that you want using the tools that you've learned inside the academy. So my project is making convertible furniture lines.
I think I made a bookcase.
Yeah. So I've got chairs specifically that can turn into other things. The one I'm working on right now turns into a game of cornhole. It's just something that I wanted to explore that I thought was cool. And it gave me the chance to go down to the shop, learn about the laser cutter and the CNC router. And
that is so
a lot
cool.
of things that I never would have had the chance to do before.
So cool. Keep going.
So definitely that's been one of my favorite things this year and has allowed me to explore a lot more of the opportunities that we have in the high school. And so I think, like, if I were to go back to my freshman self, just being more aware of the opportunities around me and taking advantage of them, because I think that there are more project-based opportunities as you get to your junior and senior year and you have more flexibility in that. But definitely, like, without this opportunity to, like, kind of decide what I wanted to work on as my capstone, I never would have found all these things that were available to me.
Do you think that freshmen now have more opportunities than you had as a freshman? I mean, have things changed from 4 years ago? Or, you know, is it just a matter of someone like yourself making sure to go down to that level and, you know, waving and saying, hey, make sure to look over here?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know how much the courses have changed or the structure of the schedules have. I certainly think there's more opportunities, but it might also be just because I'm more aware of them now.
I think that's a fair standpoint. And you go back to when you were talking about no bells kind of thing, of removing some of those barriers to our learning. I mean, Erin was talking about her project. We had kids that built electric guitars 1 year where they took from scratch and created things. And then all of a sudden they're creating music videos with the electric guitars they created. We had 1 year where the seniors' capstone project was building an autonomous sailboat where it had to run an obstacle course without any human interaction. Of course, around here they're testing on a Chris Green Lake. The actual competition was in, like, Gloucester Harbor, where the waves were taller than the boat kind of thing. And you had the kids, but it's able to run an obstacle course with no human interaction. And the kids designed that from scratch. They 3D printed the boat. They did all the electronics. They wrote grants to get the money to build the boat. And then they were competing against actual colleges on this competition. So it was an international competition. And it was, you know, for the kids, just an amazing experience and project. They were doing this in Mesa and doing it during all their spare time kind of thing. But the skills, the life skills that they received from that were just powerful. Aaron's talking about a chair that converts into a cornhole. If you look at a lot of space limitations and you look at, like, tiny homes and some of that, you start thinking about all these things that you can do differently with the tables that convert to this and the beds that convert to that. And we've all probably seen videos of stuff like that. But that's the learning that's happening with these students, where they start to see, I can make this happen kind of thing.
40 minutes after the hour, we're going to take our break. We're going to come back. I'm going to talk about some of the projects that are either in progress or have taken place, and the student centers with some of the students going on and about to join the first year with Jeff Prilliman, Gene Osborne, and Aaron Hinchin. Hang tight. All right, here we are back with our guest today from the Albemarle County School Division, as we're talking about student centers, something that's been kind of happening in Albemarle County, but we're about to make it official, starting in 2018 with Jeff Prilliman, who's going to be leading the student centers. Jeff, you were talking to me before we started about some of the projects that have been happening or planning. Can you tell the listeners some of the things that have been going on?
And we use the words project, and we go back to it could be problems. So, for example, one year, this is several years back, President Obama had given a challenge of all the states being 50% clean energy by the year 2025. And I just threw that out. What would the state of Virginia need to do to make that happen, kind of thing? And the kids are going out and they're looking at all the different power plants in the state of Virginia and what's hydro and what's coal and what's biomass. And they're learning all of these different things. Why can we have wind in this area, but we can't have water? And then all of a sudden the kids are like on the downtown mall talking to a Dominion rep, and they knew more about what Dominion was doing in the state of Virginia than the Dominion rep did as far as the center. And so that's not really a project per se, or is that a problem kind of deal? So the kids are looking at, how do we convert, you know, this coal plant to a biomass plant or what have you, and they're writing reports and such. Projects, you know, maybe more build and design. We just heard Aaron talking about converting a chair. Over the years, we've built all kinds of things from, you know, the catapults to, we mentioned electric guitars to sailboats. We do, you know, a lot of stuff around clean energy and how can we become a better steward of our environment kind of thing. At our Health and Medical Science Academy, all the kids that are in that program have internships where they're going out and it's not just filing or something like that. Some of these kids are actually assisting at veterinary clinics, you know, like helping the animals breathe while surgeries are going on. We have kids that have worked with Northrop Grumman doing engineering projects where they're looking at using wave energy to harness and get energy that way. We've got kids that are designing quadcopters and I guess wing flyers and such. And so you have all of these projects that are happening a lot of times around a passion of the students kind of thing.
So if there's 15 to 20, 25 students being selected for this upcoming school year, how do you determine who it's going to be?
So Albemarle Tech is our new center that we're going to be piloting this year. One of the things is students didn't know this existed. So it's got to be able to be something that can be accommodated into their schedule right now. And so because I'm a senior, I've already got my 4 years tracked out, all of a sudden this opportunity exists, how can I take advantage of it? So we've had a team that's gone around to the high schools and has started, I guess, promoting it and talking to students, like who would like to be part of this and can work it into their schedule for their senior year kind of thing. This first year, it is just seniors, and it looks like we'll have the interest level has been much higher than probably the kids that will be able to take advantage of it. But some of that is figuring out how to take the kids that are excited and be able to put them into this experience kind of thing. But we're going to have a center that's near businesses. The kids will be able to do internships. They'll be able to do stuff around cybersecurity. A lot of technology related, computer science, writing apps, things of that nature will be part of this first pilot center.
I want to add that there's a commitment, and I've been involved some with the development of the culture and curriculum around the Albemarle Tech, and it will absolutely look like the students of Albemarle County. When we look at learning and we look at student-centered learning, we could have a number of STEM projects that might be perfect for a student who's trending towards MIT or another four-year college. But student-centered learning environments may also be meeting a student right where they are. So the application process, I've been involved with that, and it's really just getting started. But we're looking at students who can really answer questions about their own learning, and students who are really able to take on that sort of let's say the Nobel schedule, or what would a student do when given time to learn? What would a student do if they had the opportunity to solve a problem? So the application really isn't looking at rigor so much as it's looking at agency and students saying, okay, this is an opportunity that I would like. I think it's important to note that it's not necessarily for one type of learner, and that I believe student-centered learning environments are able to serve a very, very wide range of students.
And that's a great question, Gene, is when you sit down with a student and say, if we removed these classes that you're required, what would you be doing with your time during the day? And a lot of times what the student would be doing is like we're not giving them enough credit sometimes, because they can do so much more than we're giving them credit for I don't say all too often, but at least in certain circumstances.
Mm-hmm. And where's the place going to be?
We haven't signed a lease yet. So,
okay. So you can't announce that yet?
I think, is it Thursday at the school board meeting?
This coming Thursday, you'll be able to announce that?
Well, Friday.
So sometime if you go to the school board meeting Thursday night, or if you are reading your paper, or I guess probably Sean Tubbs will announce it Thursday night. He's usually at the school board meetings if you go to Seville tomorrow. But sometime late next week, you'll be able to hear all about it. Okay.
Correct.
So keep paying attention.
Am I allowed to share how excited I am?
I wasn't following that for the first 45 minutes of the show, 48 minutes into the hour here with Gene Osborne, tamping down his excitement, lead technology integrator for the county and the student centers. Aaron Hinchin with us today is a senior at Albemarle High School, and Jeff Prilliman, who's will be the lead on the student centers. One of the things the plan is to go from 20 students to 200 to hopefully 600, correct?
So there's a plan. So that this first center, Albemarle Tech, maybe 100 to 150. The specialty center will be designed with a capacity of approximately 600 students. Figuring out how we get that capacity is one of my jobs moving forward. What does that look like? I think right now all ninth graders would maybe stay at their home school. 10th, 11th graders might have the option of coming over every other day. Maybe seniors have the option of being there full time. There's all different, the scalability that we can look at there as how to do that. But right now that's somewhat up in the air.
I heard the word internship. So that requires Charlottesville, Albemarle, and other local businesses to become involved. Have they already become involved with the 15 to 25? Do you already have participants for this upcoming year, school year?
So not having signed a lease, it's hard to really launch into, and not having an enrollment, it's hard to necessarily build specific relationships. I've had two meetings with community stakeholders where they've expressed interest, and people out there want to help kids and they want to be a part of changing education. I think that the community connections are going to really have to do with the types of kids that are enrolled, what their passions are.
If you don't know which kid is coming, exactly, and you don't know what their project is, it's hard to know which business to reach out to.
Yeah, I spoke with a student. She shared with me that there's no opportunities for people who want to be art therapists in our schools. And she's taking art classes, of course, but this connection between art and therapeutic support, there isn't a course that supports that. That student, for example, if she were to enroll, we would then, Rick, be able to connect her with the specific community partners. And I think it's important for us not to necessarily over-identify, going to Albemarle Tech means you're working at the SPCA on the weekends. You know, it's that those firm connections, I don't think, support the flexibility that's needed based on this model.
And you use the word intern. We use the word internships loosely. Maybe work-based experience is a better word. So every kid maybe is not going somewhere working for a business, but what they're doing is definitely, you know, part of like, I mean, we mentioned the sailboat kids earlier. That is as much a work-based experience as going and being part of a company kind of thing and working Monday, Wednesday, Friday for 2 hours or whatever with them and learning something. So we want to make sure that when we talk about internships, we're talking about kids gaining valuable knowledge about being in the real world and being part of how things work.
Aaron, where do you plan, or where are you going to school next, if you don't mind sharing that?
Oh, not at all. I am actually still in the decision process. It's due May 1st, but I am definitely seriously considering a school that is built on project-based learning, and that's kind of its foundation, which I think is really applicable to what we're doing here, because it's almost like what we're striving for in terms of this is working to like build towards this. It's a fairly new school, so it was able to be built in this like very ideal way of kids that it actually kind of reminds me of this sailboat project. They have teams like that. They have boats and cars where it's not part of the school. They don't get a grade for it. But when I went up to visit, I saw a kid pull an all-nighter working on this car that he wasn't getting graded for. He just really wanted it to work. I went to bed probably way before he did. He stayed up till 7:30 in the morning. But the next morning, he like came running up to me. He's like, oh, my gosh, it worked. It worked. It worked. It was showing me the video. It's great to get excited about these kind of projects and have that availability.
And if you had the opportunity to work intern for a business in the area, or you know, somewhere that you could still be, you know, a high school student for your project, what sort of business would be applicable to that?
For sure, yeah. I know personally, in my experience, and Mr. Prilliman was kind of talking about this earlier, a focus on sustainability in Mesa, that I had a project where I was working with kind of converting energy from motion into usable energy. So definitely working with companies like Dominion, like energy companies around, I think, is like a great opportunity. Honestly, any sort of internship, I have a lot of friends who do that sort of thing. We have like an internship block, and they find it so rewarding, either working at the hospital or researchers or companies around town, especially as we're starting to get more entrepreneurs in the area.
Great. Best success. I hope that you find the college or university that's the one that makes you the happiest and sends you on your way, so you can come back to Albemarle and show everybody, you know, follow my trend, follow my lead. So again, our guests today, Jeff Prilliman, Gene Osborne, and Aaron Henschen. A lot of this, from my understanding, comes from the need for solving the problems of the five C's. Is that correct?
I mean, I think that's part of it. I think it's also a recognition that, you know, you think back to our schooling, and you sat in a desk and you listened and you repeated it 3 weeks later. Kids today are much more involved in their world than in the past. I mean, you see that with some of the kids from Parkland, for example, and how active they are in trying to solve problems. And you think about our kids today, and when you see what they're capable of doing and what they're thinking about, critical thinking, collaboration, creativity, all of these things that the five C's, they're part of our community, and they want to make a difference to a higher degree maybe than 30 years ago or 40 years ago.
And the five C's, again, are?
Let's see, creativity, collaboration, critical thinking.
Civic engagement.
Civic engagement. And communication, that's a yes.
Thank you, because I wouldn't have gotten that.
Well, and it's funny because you look at it and it's like we talk about these five C's being 21st century skills, and really they're like 16th century skills and 12th century skills. And it's like these are essential skills for being productive members of society. But I think somewhere along the way through the factory model of education, we maybe got away from some of those critical thinking and creativity and allowing student agency and student voice in a lot of things that we're doing. And I think some of what we're doing is trying to come back to that kind of thing.
Gene, does your part of being the lead technology integrator take students through the five C's, you know, today and make them... what's the phrase? Profiles of a Virginia graduate. You know, where does you know your pace do that?
Sure. So, you know, really at the end of the day we support teachers. So working to, you know, side by side make creative decisions with teachers and support them in their learning. I think the five C's can be realized, but I think it's important to note that this isn't something that's done to classrooms, it's done with classrooms, and my role specifically is to provide that type of support. So teachers have the opportunity to always migrate what they're teaching towards opportunities for creativity, civic engagement, communication. I think it's central to what our kids need, and through this partnership with teachers, I think we have the opportunity as learning technology integrators to get classrooms moving or trending towards that direction, but it's certainly, you know, it's a process and it takes time.
Yeah, I mean, we just have a few seconds left, but when you talk about upgrading the students, you know, one of my thoughts is the need for upgrading the teachers as well in some cases. You know, when you have these teachers who got their degrees from possibly decades ago, do we need to upgrade the teachers as well to meet the new standards, to meet the new technology, et cetera?
We have an amazing group of teachers out there that are passionate about.
And I come from a teacher family.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're, but at the same time, you know, you think back to even when I went to school, which kid is going to run the machines or whatever? I mean, there's some technology aspects that our teachers, I don't want to say need help with, but need to learn at a different pace, kind of thing. But as far as passion and teachers who care mm-hmm. about kids, our staff is second to none.
That's all right. Yeah. I need to finish up. I want to thank everybody and wish the best to Albemarle County School Division. I love having everybody on to talk about all the topics. Thanks to Phil for putting everything together. Jeff Prilliman, Gene Osborne, Aaron Henschen for coming on today to talk about student centers. I know we'll have all of you on again. Aaron, we'll see you in the future somewhere on the
Absolutely.
News for some invention that you've put together. Best of luck. Now, next week, we'll have on Todd Sexer for North Korea and the U.S. Summit. Take care.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Production assistance and engineering from Sean McCord and Mike Friend. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the Wake-Up Call, only on WPVC-LP Charlottesville.